Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Features. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. And today we are doing a retake, but it's a retake that we really enjoy because we originally recorded this program with the Kalamazoo Ringers, a brass, bronze ringing group. And we did that before they're very important. They hosted the Bronze Fest, and now we're going to get a review of that. I have with me three very important people. I have the current director, I have the founding director, and I also have one of the founding members. And so the current director is Martha Matthews. Welcome back, Martha.
Hey, Tom. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
We're so glad to be with you again. And we have a chance to meet your predecessor, the person that you stand on her shoulders.
Absolutely.
And she is the founding director, Jan Van Vaely.
Correct.
And we're really happy to have you. And also Carol Dill, she's a founding ringer. And the two of them have a long history together. They actually have a background, grew up in the same community in Findlay, Ohio, and now they're here in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Let's have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, music is something that you gave us. You created us to love music and to love nature and to love beauty. And this is one of those. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you what these people do to make our community better. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Martha, tell us about the Bronze Fest. You were the host of the Bronze Fest. What were some of the highlights? What was the things that just exceeded your expectation?
Oh, the whole thing is amazing. Bronze Fest is an invitational. So we spend a couple of days together. We bring in a clinician. We flew him in from Paris this year.
That's an expert conductor?
Yes, a conductor, one of the finest that we have. We had Mid-Ohio Valley Ringers from Reynoldsburg, Ohio, the Kettering Advent Ringers from Kettering, Ohio, Carillon Choir from Midland, Michigan, Summit Bells from Kent, Ohio, and Classical Bells from Canton, Michigan. And they came to us by invitation. So all of our ensembles are bronze level in the bell world. That's the highest level of ringing. And we choose repertoire that is very advanced, very difficult. They all come having learned their music well to the point of almost memorizing so that a day and a half we can put together the entire team, all the ensembles, and bring a concert together. So it's really magnificent.
Well, my experience, I was introduced to your Christmas concert, a couple of those, and watched them online, and then we just had a feeling that we should come in and interview you. And what I've enjoyed about the music is that it's always fresh, and there's always a little surprise somewhere in there, and it's always delightful. Would you introduce your predecessor and maybe give her some of your kudos?
Yes, well, how many hours do you have? This Jan Van Vaely is, there's no other word but matriarch in the handbell world. She is a groundbreaker. So starting when really art form is just beginning, and her concept of a community ensemble to reach higher, to use it for education of the community, to play at the highest level, really nobody still does it exactly like Jan. But we all wish to be just like her.
Well, fantastic.
Yes, she's a magnificent woman.
Well, Jan, what inspired you? What is your history with bells?
I think it's pretty typical of most directors of my age. Bells were fairly new, and they weren't very developed in a lot of ways. Pretty standard, basic things.
So you've been a pioneer?
In some ways, yes. Our choir was the first independent nonprofit choir in the country.
My.
And so.
Right here in Kalamazoo.
Right here in Kalamazoo. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I made it up as I went.
But you must there was something that was drawing you to this.
Well, when I came here, I went to work for one of the churches in town, and they had two octaves of bells. I'd never seen a bell. I have degrees in music. I was a choral director, but I didn't know bells at all.
How did that happen? Now, how did that just be, it was off the radar?
I didn't even know they existed. And when they interviewed me for the job, a very prominent man in this community, very well known in the music world, was on the committee. And he said to me, we have a set of bells, but we don't really need them or use them much. And I said, what are they? I'd never seen them. I didn't know anything about them. And they said, well, we really don't care what you do with them, but you're responsible for them. Okay.
We'll talk about wide open turf.
Yeah. So I watched for a year. There was a gentleman in the church volunteering to work with a group of seniors. And he was a great musician, but he didn't know anything about directing or bells or anything. And it wasn't the most fulfilling musical sound. And that following summer, there was a gentleman who I had never heard of before by the name of Don Alured, and he was doing a workshop in Bayview, Michigan for new directors. Don Alured turned out to be the godfather of the handbell world, which I did not know. And I went to this week-long workshop, and I walked back into my home after the end of the week and said to my husband, I found my instrument.
Really?
I can teach anybody music with this instrument. And in that church, we had two octaves of bells, which is a very small set, 25-note set. And by the time I left the church, we had a full five-octave set, which is considerably more. And I had five bell choirs going of different ages. And it was just amazing what you could teach and what you could accomplish with it. The church chose not to support that growth in the music program. And so I left and kind of wanted to do bells. I didn't really have a strong desire to do vocal. I'd done it for years and I could, but bells were calling to me. And so another church in town had bells they weren't using, and I knew their musician. And I went to her and said, would you be willing to let me use the bells? And they said, yes. And I called, I'd only been in town 3 years. I didn't know a lot of people yet. I called everybody I knew that had any bell background whatsoever and said, what do you think? Would you be willing to come together? And 10 of us came together and made it up and formed our choir. And Carol's husband is an attorney, and he did the legal work for us to become a nonprofit. And we just never looked back. We were using three octaves of bells, actually four octaves. They were different makes borrowed from that church. And by the time I left, when I retired, which was 37 years later, we had seven octaves of bells and seven octaves of chimes, all owned by the choir.
Carol, can you add to this story?
I can add to the story. I can remember when Jan and I met at the church after all of these years of growing up together. She was the music director, so I signed up for the choir to sing. Well, and that very day, her husband grabbed me, threw a robe on me, handed me a sheet of music, and I sang in the choir that Sunday. So so when the bells came up, I can remember she said she opened the lid of the case and said, what are these? So when she learned what to do with them and how to go about teaching, she came to me and she says, you want to ring bells? By grabbing me by my chest and saying, like I had any choice. So anyways, that's how we started. So then I followed when she left the church and the choir at the church. Then I started with the Kalamazoo Ringers with her at the church where we were hosted at that time.
So yes. How many years ago was this?
Well, I was there for 37. This is actually their 42nd year. So Martha has been there 5 years now, right?
Yes. Oh, boy,
those years go so fast.
That's hard to believe.
It is kind of an interesting story.
We're all about stories.
We have a national organization called Handbell Musicians of America. And Martha and I have both been very active in our own areas. She lived in Pennsylvania at the time, and I was here. And when we would go to events, we'd see each other. I did not know her well, but I was always impressed. And she plays flute, and I saw her accompanying in many concerts, and I was just always impressed with what I saw of her. And we had the chance to get to know each other and talk a little bit. And I just always enjoyed her. And at 37 years, when starting that year, I was faced with a very serious medical problem. And just as that was occurring, and I was really panicked about what I was going to do for the choir, she sends me an email and says, by the way, I just moved to Holland, Michigan. And I said, what? You know, I can't believe this.
Providence.
Yes. So anyway, she came over, asked if she could come to a rehearsal, and she did. I did not tell her I was ill, but it didn't take her very long to figure it out when she got there. And in 3 weeks, I believe it was, of that time when she came, I handed my book to her. We had a concert coming up in 3 more weeks with another choir, and I was in the hospital by the time that concert took place. And I knew it. I wasn't going to be able to do it, and she stepped in and took over. And we had a whole year's programming planned, including a major concert in the spring for a national seminar that we were selected to play for. And I wanted to do that in the worst way. She kept the choir together. She did all their performances, everything, and shared that final concert with me. And then she took over. Now that was certainly...
Providence.
Yes.
I tell you, it's something. I've known Jan forever, and we were quite close during all of her illness. And I can remember thinking, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We were all of a sudden kind of facing a problem of not having her direct. And then this lovely lady bounds in the door, and she has been directing bell choirs, and she was kind of looking for something to do to fill the void that she had. So it was like perfect. It was like it was just meant to be, just supposed to be the way it happened.
The Lord provides.
Yeah.
I had told the choir that fall that was going to be my last year, that I was going to retire. And I didn't realize that. I knew I had problems, but I didn't know how serious it was going to get. And they were actively pursuing a new director. But when she came along, I pulled the choir officers aside and I said, go after her. She's the one. Because I know all the directors and I knew what was around. And I said, you need to make an offer to her. And they worked with her for a few weeks and they came back to me and they said, yes, we agree.
So, Martha, you have to defend yourself here.
Wow, pull me off the floor. I'm a puddle. But for my perspective, yes, I was new to Michigan. I had founded and loved my ensemble in Philadelphia, and I was just grieving them. And so I really just wanted to come and see Jan work because she told me about her approach, the tone that she sets in this ensemble is unlike anything else I've ever experienced. Everybody has a voice. Everybody's important. Everybody is really, truly a team in the finest sense of the word. And so even just to get to watch her work, that was so crazy exciting. But then the divine providence to me is that we had that whole next semester as we were preparing for the seminar. So I attended every rehearsal, got to watch her work, did some of my own, and I didn't hold back. I know Jan and I are very similar in a lot of ways and not so much in some other ways, but that's okay. It's good. It's beautiful. And they accepted me. And when they offered me the position, it was one of the sweetest moments I've ever had.
There is, I'm going to tell our listeners, there's something special about it's unlike any high school and maybe some of the college ringer groups you've heard. I find, and you ladies saying this, and I'm going to differentiate it between your group and what I've heard, some ringers, after you've heard them for so many minutes, you've had your fill. But you guys, you keep us engaged the whole time, and there's always something to look forward to. There's going to be something special. But I want to go back to Jan. You said something, you'd never seen these bells before, but it's just like you knew that was your instrument. Being a musician and being exposed to so many things, how did that happen? I mean, it just seems like it just like was love at first sight or something like that.
It is, but it's an interesting thing because in the bell world, the majority of people that come into a church program are not trained musicians, directors, or ringers. And so there's a bit of a stumbling around trying to figure out how to make this work. But if you have someone who is trained and capable of doing it, you can open the world of music to a novice no matter what their age is. And one of the things I have always loved the most is taking an adult, no matter what their age is, who maybe took kids to music classes or lessons or something, but they never got to learn.
Always spent on the sidelines.
Always on the sidelines. They never read music. The hymnal doesn't mean anything to them except the words. They can't read it. And to teach them how to read it, you open a whole new world to them. And learning the notes and when to play is just one little tiny step. But when you open the world to how you make music and how you work together, there's no other music ensemble I've ever worked with or experienced in my life that requires all the members to work together as one team the way this does. It's just amazing to see. Children learn what cooperation is. They learn that being competitive doesn't work. You can't have one star and everybody else is lesser. If you have someone who's having trouble, you come around them and help them. You support them. You learn to look out for each other. And that's a life lesson. That's an amazing lesson in people's lives that they don't get in a lot of ways.
You know, the only other time I've seen something you described is watching T-ball.
Yes, yep.
Everybody loves, I mean, it's so wonderful as watching both teams chase after the ball.
That's right. And cheering them as they do.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. That, I'll never forget one time, one of the many things I've experienced in doing this, a group of children, young elementary children, who didn't read music. And I color-coded the music for them for a year, so they knew what they were doing. So the next year, they were like third graders. And I put a piece of music in front of them that they had rung before, but it didn't have any color coding. And I put them in the same places that they had rung. And I said, we're going to ring this. And they said, we can't. It's not color coded. I said, yes, you can. You've learned that. What it means, you understand. And this one girl kept saying, I can't do it. I can't do it, Ms. V. I can't do this. I keep going. And she had crocodile tears running down her face trying to read this piece of music. And at the end, she cheered because she did it. I'll never forget that.
Well, talk about stories. Martha, why don't you share a bell ringing story that touches you, some memorable moment?
Oh, there are many. But I had a ringer once in a high school ensemble who was born blind. And she was a piano major at this school of music, and I had no idea what to do with that either, because we had 5 days to go from introducing the music to performance. It was that time. And without being able to see your music, how do you teach that? How do you, I can't say start at measure 27 because she doesn't know where that is. So the first year or so, I put her on the bottom and doubling out on chimes, just playing kind of whole notes, and she could hear the chords progress. She learned the technique. But by her last year, she had learned how to quickly take notes in Braille. So she had transcribed the music into Braille and memorized it. And because she was such a fine pianist, such a fine musician anyway, she had it entirely in her head. Well, that last year, I put her on the high trebles, which has the melody, which means if she missed it, everybody knew. It's an obvious melody thing. And not only that, one of the songs, she had the starting note. And she couldn't see me give an upbeat. She couldn't do. And she did that entire concert because she was so tuned with her ears off of my breath. So all I did was take a breath. Boom. And she was there. And one of the pieces, she was not the only one to start, but nobody else was watching. And so she was the only one out of all those sighted players who got it. And she's, yeah, just today finished up her master's in music therapy. And definitely a success story.
Mm-hmm. Carol, what a gift.
I would like you to share a ringer story.
Well, I just have, there's one thing that stands out to me. It was when we were in Japan, and there were 1,000 of us ringing. I mean, my camera even couldn't take, I had to take 3 pictures to get everybody in. But anyway, we had different directors from different choirs. You know, we had a Korean director, we had a German director, we had this director, and it was amazing to me that music is the universal language, because everybody read the same notes, played the same notes, and we all kind of had interpreters for the directors who were not speaking in our language so we could understand what we were being told. But that to me was amazing, to see all of those people from all different countries, all different languages, all ringing the same notes.
What a beautiful story. We've got to transition in our last section, is you've got a big event coming up.
We surely do. Absolutely. I'm so excited for this one. So May 21st, Sunday afternoon at 4:00 here at Grace Harbor Church, we are doing our anniversary concert. Now, we're in our 43rd year, but we're celebrating 40 years because we didn't get to because of COVID. So we're anything for a party, you know, we could miss the party. So we're inviting the alumni to come back. We're doing, hope, you know, the theme of this concert is really based on my experience with Kalamazoo Ringers. And that is, I hear it almost every time I'm here, the KR family. That Kalamazoo Ringers is a family, and that if you're in it even for a tiny little bit of time, you're a KR family for life. And in the thought of alumni coming back, coming home to Kalamazoo Ringers, our theme is there's no place like home.
Wow. Is there, when these alumni come, will they be picking up any bells?
Yeah. You're giving it away.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. No, they'll be present. There won't be a big, you know, and there are so many alumni. You know what? If everybody rang, we'd have a, but I would love for them
to
have a
presence.
You may
have 1,000. No,
yes, there are many. But each facet of the concert is based on something that happens in your home. So we're starting with, it's an arrangement of Carillon, of V. Aaron's Carillon, which is the church bells calling everybody home. We have the office, we're ringing the typewriter, Leroy Anderson's typewriter. We have, piano lessons. Everybody takes piano lessons. So we transcribe Moonlight Sonata for that. It's exquisite, absolutely amazing. We're doing a pet theme. So that would be You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. So we do everything from new works just for bells to transcriptions, classic, jazz, pop, you name it, it's all in this one concert.
It's amazing. You can do jazz, and you do even do once in a while a little rock.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, do.
And you wouldn't think you could do that with bells. But I want you to talk to our listener who has never been to a bell concert. Why will, once they get here, it'll have an awe experience?
It's mesmerizing, both in terms of what you hear, but in also in what you see. So we work hard on our form in unity, because everything, every muscle you move spins the sound waves in the room in a different way. So if we do that with unity, we get power, and that's amazing. So to see 16 people all moving exactly together, throwing the bronze around like it's nothing, you know. It's just, it's so fun. But there are many, many, maybe Jen can tell, I don't know how many handbell techniques there are in the world right now. It keeps changing by the day.
Keeps growing.
But keeps growing. So many different ways of ringing the bell, many different styles. It's like, it's a little bit like watching a sport. You know, one of my mantras is handbells is a full body sport because it takes your whole body. It's a team. And in any team, if you have a ball, it's a ball sport. Somebody has the ball. And then it gets tossed to somebody else and tossed to somebody else. And even if you're sitting on the bench, you're still a part of what's happening there as a goal together. And so just the watching, tossing it around and who has it now is fascinating to see.
And you bring out an amazing point, Martha, because, and we want to encourage our listeners to go onto your website and prepare for the concert. I mean, if you go there the first time, that'll be an awe experience, but I think you may have favorite players you may want to watch or certain techniques. I love the great big bells, but it also different techniques that different people have.
Isn't it so interesting? Yes, I find a lot of audience members bond with one or two ringers, and they just like to watch how they play and the sparkle in their eyes or something
exactly.
like that. Or
I've experienced that.
Yeah. Yes. And so if you are coming, I hope that you, whoever you are who's listening, will consider coming. Do check us out. We have a YouTube page, and so you can watch concerts from past couple of years, way back to way back farther.
Kalamazoo Ringers.
Kalamazoo
on
Ringers.
On YouTube. Mm-hmm. Now, this concert, we need to tell them, it's in Kalamazoo. It's on Gorham at which church? Harbor?
Grace Harbor
Grace
Church.
Grace Harbor Church. Mm-hmm. Grace Harbor Church on Gorham. It's off of, is this West Main? That's the main street.
Yes.
West Main in Kalamazoo. Comes out of downtown. It's out there by U.S. 131 between the two. Drake Road is a local major thoroughfare, but Grace Harbor, what time is it and what's the date again?
It's 4 o'clock on May 21st. All that information is on our website, kalamazooringers.org, or you could check us out on Facebook. We have a very active page and a group, so Kalamazoo Ringers page, and then Friends of Kalamazoo Ringers as a group that has some of the inside scoop of what happens in rehearsals.
So I recommend that you attend this concert. It'll be a great blessing to do it. And this will be 40th or 43rd, depending on how you count it.
Right.
But Martha Matthews is the director, and I'm so pleased that got to meet you. Jan and also Carol, continuity means a lot to me, and you guys have blessed this community and blessed me, and you will bless all those who attend.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you. I'm Tom Azure with Strong Tower Radio, and see you at the concert. Bye now.